Proverbs, so let's go to the book, Proverbs. First of all, I would like to show you the method by which I would like to teach this book, and the method is dealt with on levels. For example, I will put in front of you this morning what we'll call level number one. And level number one will look at the whole book and break the whole book down into five parts. Then we'll come down to level number two. And level number two will take, for example, part two right here, part two of number one. Part two of this, for example, this is Roman numeral number one, two, three, four, five. And then we will take one of those Roman numerals and break it down into its parts like that. And then we will take that smaller part and break it down once again into its parts, so that we will teach really on three levels. For example, up here on the overhead this morning, I've got an overhead of level number one, and that's up here looking at the entire book. Then I'll take some of the points here and break them down into a level number two outline. Then break level number two, and I'll take out number part two here and break it down once again. Ultimately, where do we end up with this type of study? Ultimately, with this type of study, you end up analyzing each word. Each word. And that's the way we want to study the Word of God very carefully, looking at each word, but beginning up at the top, down a level, down a level, down a level, until we finally get to the meaning of the very words. And that's a good, sound way to study the Word of God. So let's take our level number one and fly over, so to speak, the entire book. And we have captioned that the parts of Proverbs and broken them down into five categories. Number one, we have the message of wisdom. And that begins in chapter 1 through chapter 9. The message of wisdom. Now take and look at chapter 1 and go in your Bible to chapter 10, verse 1, or the end of chapter 9. And notice the reason we divide this off into a part of Proverbs is because wisdom is crying out to be heard in the first nine chapters. Why do we break it at the end of chapter 9? Well, notice the way chapter 10 begins. Chapter 10 begins by saying the Proverbs of Solomon. So we have the words of wisdom 1:1 through 9:18. Then we go to the Proverbs of Solomon, part 1. And that goes from 10:1 through 22:16. And so take the book of Proverbs and now go from chapter 10 to 22:16. This is much like taking something apart. You have a kitchen utensil, and it's got the blade, that's a part, and then it's got the handle, and that's a different part, and then you may have something to hold a fruit or vegetable in there, that's a different part. The same thing is true with Proverbs or any book of the Bible. Part one that you can distinguish from all other parts has to do with the message of wisdom, and it takes up nine chapters. Then in 10:1, we know we've got a different part to it because it begins with the Proverbs of Solomon. And that continues, and if you'll then turn to 22 verse 17, and verse 17 begins another distinguishable part of Proverbs. Because notice we have had the Proverbs of Solomon until we come to 22, verse 17. And what does he now say? Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. And so, the words of the wise make the next section. They're not the Proverbs of Solomon. They're included in Proverbs, but the Proverbs of Solomon end with 22:16. That's part one, and then the words of the wise begin in 22:17. And you might want to mark in your Bible in verse 17 the words of the wise. And the words of the wise continue on to the end of chapter 24. And notice the 25th chapter, verse 1, says these also are Proverbs of Solomon. And so we have the Proverbs of Solomon, part 2. Proverbs of Solomon, part 1. Interspersed in there is the words of the wise. And then the Proverbs of Solomon, beginning in 25, verse 1 through 29:27. Then at chapter 29:27, the end of the chapter, we start what I think it's best to call the appendices at the book of Proverbs. And these are simply parts that are added as sort of a PS or sort of an appendices, and they are in chapter 30 and 31, notice chapter 30 and verse 1, the words of Agur. And Agur speaks to us in chapter 30, verses 1 through 33. Then notice chapter 31. Chapter 31 leaves the words of Agur and says this, these are the words of Lemuel. And Lemuel speaks down through verse 9. And then the final appendices to the book of Proverbs is beginning in chapter 31, verse 10, the noble woman. So notice the way this breaks down. Now, let me give you a little more about each of these five major parts of the book of Proverbs. Let's take, first of all, the message of wisdom, chapter 1 through chapter 9. Wisdom is pictured as calling out. Look at 1:20. Wisdom shouts in the streets. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, does not wisdom call and lift up her voice? Then you've got chapter 9 and verse 3. Chapter 9 and verse 3 reads, she, that is wisdom, has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. So notice in this section of Proverbs of Wisdom, you have them pictured. Now, wisdom pictured is pictured not as a man. Wisdom is pictured as a woman. Look, for example, at chapter 8. Wisdom is pictured as a woman. It's pictured as a woman. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice on the top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet? She takes her stand beside the gates of the opening of the city at the entrance of the doors. She cries out, to you, O men, I call. So wisdom is pictured, wisdom is personified, and it's personified as a woman. Now, one other thing, and if you go back to chapter 1, you will not see this in the English text, but you do have it in the Hebrew. See the word wisdom in verse 20? That is plural. The word wisdom is not singular. It is not wisdom, and if we would translate it literally, we would say wisdom's cry out. So we know three things about the message of wisdom. Number one, it is pictured. It speaks to us. Number two, it is a woman saying, listen to me. And number three, it is plural. And for us in English, plural means what? More than one. In Hebrew, plural can mean more than one. It can also mean a great big one. For example, let's suppose in front of the platform this morning, we had on the left a little, and I've been impressed with this, I saw my first one, a teacup poodle. Anyone ever seen a teacup poodle? It's a little thing that fits in your hands, and I saw it at a store, and I just caught my tongue. I wanted to tell the lady, that is a pretty little white rat. Well, it was not a rat, it was a little teacup poodle. Over on the other side, let's put a big Saint Bernard. In Hebrew, they would say dog, and the big one is dogs. Anything majestic, intense, can be made plural. And therefore, when wisdom is made plural, the idea involved in it, it is perfect, it's big, or big wisdom we would call what? Profound. And so in chapter 1, verse 20, profound wisdom speaks in the street. And we know these three things about the message of wisdom in 1 through chapter 9. Now, go to chapter 10 once again. Chapter 10 once again. As we have said many, many times, Bible study is nothing more than opening your eyes and seeing what is really there. That's not easy to do. I went recently to a dermatologist, and she was going over my back, and I thought halfway looking out the window. She ran her hand down my back and halfway looked and said, well, there's nothing there that's dangerous. And I wanted to say, well, you didn't look very carefully. Well, she knew how to look and therefore could see things that I never would have noticed in that situation. And so that's Bible study. Now notice in the Proverbs of Solomon, chapter 10 through chapter 22, is there any characteristic that is there that you can see? Is there any characteristic under the Proverbs that you can see? In other words, can you take chapter 10, verse 1, and through chapter 22, verse 16, and can you see two divisions? Can you see them? Well, we're going to have two kinds of lines. And I'll put down line type number one and line type number two. And the first one is made up of lines of contrast. And that has a key word with it. The lines of contrast have as their key word the word but. This is true. But, on the other hand, and by way of contrast, you have something different. And notice beginning in chapter 10, what kind of lines do you have? Verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a father glad, but contrast. What's verse 2? Ill-gotten gains do not profit, but, line 3, the Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but, verse 4, poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but, and you look at the lines of contrast, and the lines of contrast continue down through chapter 16. And then you have lines of completion. And the lines of completion are those that give line one and then have the key word and. So, or even. By the way, one of the hardest books in all of the Bible to outline and find an organizational structure to it is the book of Proverbs. And I'm willing to say Proverbs has basically no outlinable structure to it. Now, you stop and think, why? When we present something like in Romans, Paul moves from man's sinfulness logically to God's provision, and you have a logical sequence. There is none in Proverbs. Proverbs says, bang, let me shoot you over there. And then the next paragraph says, bang, let me shoot you over here. And we're from place to place to place, from subject to subject to subject to subject. And it's just like a shotgun burst. It is scattered wisdom, and there is no real organization to it. Now you say, well, why is that the case? How does life come to you? Take this day. Aren't you going to be approached from all kinds of angles? You'll have about noon the physical anger. You'll get hungry. You'll eat, and then you will perhaps come at it from a different angle. You'll read the newspaper. What is the relationship between food and the newspaper? None. Perhaps then someone will slam the door on your finger, and you'll face a new episode in life. Reacting to a finger slammed in the door. Then, as soon as you do that, you will lie down and try to take a nap, and the neighbor turns up the music. And now you've got to face that. And so what is life? Life is one thing after another. God does not say, now at 10 o'clock, you're going to be tested. At 11 o'clock, you're going to be blessed. Life doesn't come that way, does it? You think throughout yesterday, how many different incidents from different corners came to you yesterday? And they come unannounced. You know, so-and-so has been to the store, your son or daughter, and something happened bad, and they burst in the front door, and they're mad. They don't say, Mom, I'm coming home mad. It just bursts on you. And that, I think, is the wonderful thing about Proverbs. Proverbs said, you facing temptation? Let me tell you something about that. Now, are you hungry? Let me tell you something about that. Are you about to make a business deal? Let me tell you something about that. And it is totally random. There's some organization, like apparently Solomon got together and took all of his proverbs, and he put them together and said, let's in part one of my Proverbs, let's put the first six chapters under the but Proverbs and do it that way. But nonetheless, Proverbs comes to us just like life comes to us. It comes to us in a random, unorganized manner. We like to think of being organized in life, but there's not an organized person alive. Think about it. How do the events of life come to you? Does God issue you an outline? Here is your day. And you may structure it a little bit, but who in a day's time doesn't get surprise after surprise after surprise after surprise? And you say, I didn't know that was coming. I didn't know. One of the best ways to illustrate it perhaps would be, how many times does your phone ring a day? And you always know who's on the other end, don't you? You always know what they're going to talk about, don't you? No, it's random. And God gave us a wonderful book in His Word that approaches life like life approaches us. It comes to us in random parts and not in an orderly way. Life is not run by an outline. Life is run as things happen to come to us. How many surprises in one day? Maybe not big ones, but how many surprises do you find out about the person that you're living with? Your son or your daughter, your husband or your wife. Aren't you continually getting surprises? We've been married 38 years and I still get surprises, and so does Betty, about things that I didn't know you liked that. We're having vegetable soup for lunch today, and we've had it for 38 years. I just recently told her, you know, I don't like thick soup. I like thin soup. And she didn't know that. She always made it thick because she liked, thought I, and therefore, that was a random event, something she found out about me that she never knew before. I like vegetable soup when it's got the little tiny greaselet things on top. I'm not good for you, I guess, but rather than the thick tomatoey gook. What do we got today? Thick tomatoey gook? Okay, do you see what I'm saying now about Proverbs comes to you like life comes to you? In bits and pieces and shotgun blasts, and some of them are big, some of them are little. And here you are ready to, your son comes to you and says, Dad, I want a car. I need someone to co-sign. And you've never co-signed before, and you say, well, sure. But Proverbs hit you about 8 times about co-signing and how foolish it can really be. And therefore, it hits you where you live. All right, are we clear on that? We have somewhat of an outline. You have parts. But maybe we could illustrate it another way. Proverbs is put together sort of like a diary. I keep in my day timer various sayings that I come across. Let me see. Various sayings that come to me, and I will stop the car, write one down, drive a little further and hear another one, and write it down and interrupt all kinds of activities. And I come up with a page that has, for example, the following things that I've just picked up here and there. Lord, and these are good statements, I think. I like this one. Lord, help me to be a servant, especially in an advisory capacity. And I want to remember that, so I wrote it down. The next thing I wrote down in order in this page, and it's a whole page full of various quotes that I've got at different times, and it's like Proverbs in that there is no order. You couldn't outline this if your life depended upon it. It is not. This is the next one. Now, how does this relate to the former, the one about being an advisory capacity servant? It is not God loves us because we are valuable. It is we are valuable because God loves us. Now, what relationship did that have to do with that other? None. In fact, it was probably written on a different day, under a different circumstances. Perhaps on the radio I heard it. Perhaps I read it and wrote it down. So there is no order. Now, does that mean there's no value? Oh, there's tremendous value to it. But these are simply things that came to me from various sources along the way that I thought were good. I heard one say, I once taught with a view to changing men, but I now teach to keep men from changing me. Now, what does that have to do with the other two? Nothing whatsoever. Different time, different place, and different circumstances. And therefore, God gave us a book that matches life. It just hits you where you live. And that's one of the things that we'll have fun with Proverbs. we'll come to a section and it'll hit us and say, you know, I never thought of that. And we'll come to another part and we'll say, I never thought of that. But you know, that happened to me the other day. And that's the value of this tremendous book, the book of Proverbs. So the Proverbs then divide down into the Proverbs of contrast and the Proverbs of completeness. Now, look at the words of the wise. Look at 22:17. Words of the wise, 22:17. And in this little section, verse beginning with 17, and we'll not deal with it now, but there's a word that is translated excellent in this passage that is also the Hebrew word for 30. And so if you begin looking at verse 17 down through chapter 24, verse 22. I won't ask you to do this now because it would take too much time. But do you see your paragraph markers? How many have those paragraph markers? Okay, you see them? There's one at verse 17. There's one at verse 22. There's one at verse 24. There's one at 26, one at 28, one at 29. And really, there's one in 23:1, isn't there? Except they don't put them at the beginning of a chapter. So there's a paragraph that begins in 23:1, but no paragraph marker. And if you go through, verse 4 is 1, verse 6 is 1, and by the time you come to chapter 24 and verse 22, you have found, let's see, 23 through 34, you have 30 little paragraphs. So we call this then, when we come to it, the words of the wise, 30 sayings. And each one is divided into a paragraph. Now the Jews had a reason for that. They said, you know, you need wisdom for every day. A lunar month has how many days? 30 days. And therefore, beginning in chapter 22:17, the Word of God gives us words of the wise for each day of the month. Now, stop and think. If you went over these 30 words for the wise 2 times a day, and let's take a look at one, verse 22. Now, you might time this. How long does it take to read these words? I'll read them. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them. How long did it take me to read that?
7 seconds.
7 seconds. Do you think it would be overdoing it in the course of one day to read that 3 times? Well, if you do that 3 times a day on each section and do that for 1 year, do you know what you've done with the words of the wise? I'll tell you what you've done. You've memorized them. You'll know them all by heart because you read and reread them. That's part of the wisdom of Hebrew literature is let's repeat a thing day by day by day by day until you know them by heart. And so when you come to chapter 22:17 through 24:34, you have words of the wise, one saying per day for 1 month, and then repeat the cycle 12 times. And I'll guarantee you, if you spend, and I know that there are not many of us that have, 21 seconds in a day, my schedule is entirely too busy to allow God to talk for 21 seconds. I've got too much to say and too much to listen to, and I'm being caustic, you understand. Of course we have the time, and should, therefore, just by reading and reading and reading, come to the point that you know the book. I remember my first experience with that was in teaching the book of James. And I went to teach the book, gave a little outline on the first part, and in the pulpit, I discovered that through repeated reading, I didn't need the text. I knew that first chapter cold by heart. I didn't even know I memorized it. But I did it over and over and over again. And this is the way we ought to approach the Word of God. Now, for a sparkling outline, we have 30 wise sayings, 22:17 through 24:22, 30 paragraphs, and then look at 24:23. These also are the sayings of the wise. And so I just divide that into 30 sayings of the wise, and beginning at verse 23, some more. It may not be a brilliant outline, but that's what it says, doesn't it? We got some more. So let's throw them in. You know, I was so raised on outlining. Do you remember being taught that if you got a big A in outline, what must you also have? You got to have a big B, even if it is not there. And so we ought to kind of, outlining is wonderful, but back off a little bit. The Proverbs of Solomon then begin in chapter 25, and we end with a very, very appropriate chapter, and that is 10 through the end of the book on the ideal wife. Now, I think that Solomon probably put that, I don't know, perhaps put that chapter in because he had been pretty hard on women. Look, for example, at chapter 19, verse 13. A foolish son is the destruction of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. Ever try to sleep and it's dripping rain and you hear drip, drip, drip? I live with that. Drip, drip. Nag, nag, nag is the idea. And chapter 21, he did the same thing. Chapter 21 and verse 9. And I'm not talking about you, Betty. I don't even listen. So, kidding. You've got to have a sense of humor to survive Beth Haven Church. If you don't have one, you're going to be in real trouble. Okay, 21:9. It is better to live in the corner of a roof, way up in the eaves, than in a house shared with a contentious woman. And you look at chapter 25, verse 24. It is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. And you begin to say, Solomon, you better write chapter 31 and point out that there is a wonderful, ideal woman. And therefore, the Word of God does what it often does. It brings us to a balance. Nagging is terrible, but there are wonderful women that are involved in it. And so, the book concludes with a section in chapter 31. What did I miss? Say something?
That was funny. There are wonderful women involved in it.
Oh, okay. That, then, is level one of Proverbs. Level one. We've flown over the whole thing, seen the parts, seen why we divided it into these parts, and divided it up and made some observations about it. And where did I get all this stuff? Where did you find 30 sayings? By looking, reading, observing. And I tell you what, if you will learn to do that in school, I'll guarantee your grades will go out of the ceiling. There was a speaker, and he speaks at different colleges, on a guaranteed seminar on how to raise your grades.
And he stands up and says, I'm going to give you the first and most important principle for raising your grades. And they all had their pens poised to get this great wisdom. And he says, attend class. And when you attend class, so you won't sleep, get on the first three rows. Now, isn't that profound? Not really. After all, what are you paying for in school? What's your tuition for, basically? To listen to a man talk. To hear some of the lectures that people who know apparently are able to give. And therefore, attending class helps a lot. And I'm sure many a bad grade came about by you just weren't here. You missed that day. And so if you're in college, attend class. It really helps enormously. And when you do attend, you might try listening. You might even take notes. You might even get on the front rows where you can't sleep. And therefore, the necessity of observation is very great, very important. This is level number one of Proverbs. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to look, taking this first section, the message of wisdom, and we're going to bring it down a level. And here is the first nine chapters outlined in a smaller way. And then we'll take that down to another level, and this is the way we learn and understand. And so in our next hour, we're ready to break down the message of wisdom in nine chapters into five parts that are there. And that's the way we learn. That's the way we get these things in our mind so they can be used for practical living. Father, we're thankful for your word and your truth. We're thankful for the book of Proverbs that comes to us like life comes to us. A temptation here, a temptation there, a blessing here, a blessing there, a disappointment here, a disappointment there, meeting a new person here and a new person there. May we recognize that's the way life is lived, and that's the way your word comes to us in the book of Proverbs. In Christ's name, amen.